This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello, this is author and artist Bunny Michael. We all have a higher self, and we can access our higher self once we start unlearning the false beliefs from our culture and our trauma that taught us we're not enough. So get cozy and join us as I answer listeners' questions and we all unlearn from each other's problems. Welcome to XO Higher Self. Hello, everybody. How are you doing? How are you feeling? Thank you so much for joining me for another episode. I am so grateful to be here with you. I hope that you had an okay week. I know the energy has been kind of intense lately. We just had that major eclipse happen, and I'm not a huge expert on astrology. That's why I don't talk a lot about astrology here, because I'm not an expert, but I really love learning about it. Every year I learn more and more, and a lot of people are talking about how this eclipse brought up a lot of deep wounds within them, things that they haven't wanted to look at. And that's what eclipses do, because they show us a lot of what's in the shadow, so that we can become more self-aware, more self-actualized, more healed. And definitely that is exactly what happened to me. And it wasn't easy. I kind of was going through it a lot last week. And how I think about astrology in terms of our higher selves is that astrology is an avenue to understanding who you are. It is a way that nature can be a helpful teacher. And of course, we're going to get lessons from other celestial bodies and planets, because this is the world where we live in, and we are not separate from our environment. So that's how I look at astrology. And so I think we can use all kinds of tools to deepen our understanding, to give ourselves more compassion, to become more loving to ourselves and give ourselves more grace and have an even deeper understanding of what's really going on internally within us and within our larger collective. So one of the things that this eclipse really helped me address was how my wounds can still show up in my life and how to give myself grace when that happens. Because in our life, we are going to experience challenges, right? People are going to hurt our feelings. That is just kind of part of being a human being. You can't avoid somebody hurting your feelings, no matter how healed you are, no matter how much inner work you've done. We are in relationships with people that we care about. And if somebody hurts our feelings, it's because you care about them and what they do has an effect on us. And it doesn't necessarily mean that that's a bad thing. But what I really saw this time, because I did kind of get my feelings hurt and I was thinking about it and I was angry about it and I felt hurt. And then I thought to myself, why is this hurting so much? Like, I get it, my feelings and experiences are valid, but I started to notice that this situation, this thing that I was going through, or these feelings that I was having, was actually reminding me of a time when I was younger, when I felt unloved, when I felt rejected by my family, when my parents didn't accept me for being gay when I was just a teenager, which was a very traumatic experience for me. I talk a lot about that experience in my new book, so you can read about that, but kind of lots of stuff happened there, but I won't get too much into it right now. My point being is that there was a moment when I was feeling hurt about this thing that happened, when I realized that a lot of the hurt that I was feeling was actually old hurt, old pain, old fear. It was making me fearful that I actually wasn't lovable in my authenticity. And that was why this person hurt me, because I'm actually not worthy of not being hurt, which made the experience so much more painful. And when I saw what was being triggered in that moment, I was able to say to myself, okay, I get that this is hard, that this feels this way, but this isn't the complete story. Like, my feelings aren't just about this one thing. I'm also hurt because I'm experiencing this old pain right now. And this old pain is coming up so that I can give myself even more grace, even more love about that wound, and send myself lots of love around that, and give myself a lot of compassion. Because sometimes when we first start uncovering our childhood wounds, it's like we go through this process of anger and hurt, and then we kind of get to the other side of it and we're like, we deserved better. We send ourselves some love and we work through it. But then we kind of think we're completely done with it, right? We think those wounds are, we've moved past it or something. But we do get triggered, and those wounds do come up again. And every time that they do is another opportunity for us to remind ourselves, wait a minute, we're lovable now. We were lovable then. That treatment of us had nothing to do with how valuable we are. And it's just another opportunity for us to change the narrative and not let that old narrative continue to unconsciously run our lives. And it also made me think about, okay, where does this narrative that I'm not lovable in my authenticity show up unconsciously in other ways? Like, I started to kind of think about the rest of my life and the rest of my relationships and even my friendships, and times that I get insecure and times that I feel like, oh, I don't have enough friends, or my friends don't like me. And I just started to notice that I do still have those fears. I still carry those fears with me. And maybe this is a time where I need to become even more diligent about changing that narrative, because I'm ready for a whole other stage in my journey. And after the eclipse happened, I was like, okay, I see. This is like a new phase for me. This is a new phase for me where I don't want to let that narrative run my life. So if you had a similar experience, or if you've had similar experiences, just know you're not alone. We can be so enlightened. We can do all of this healing work, and yet there's still more to understand, and there's still more to become aware of. And every time is just another opportunity to connect to our higher selves and embody our higher selves and be like, you know what? I'm worthy of love and kindness. And even though people can behave out of their wounds, it doesn't mean that I need to feel completely diminished in my worth because of it. My worth cannot be diminished. I'm whole right now, no matter what happens, no matter the mistakes that other people make, and no matter the mistakes that I make. And we can always return back to our power, which is our higher selves, which has been with us for our entire lives. We were born into our own wholeness, and that is truly who we are. And sometimes we get distracted and sometimes we forget, but we can always return to our truth. So yes, that was the eclipse moment for me. So I thought I would just share that with you, because we're on this healing journey together. And it never stops, right? It never stops, does it? Oh, but you know, that's also the beauty of it, right? Our life is precious and sacred, and our willingness to confront this stuff, to go inward, to be accountable, is what transforms the world. Our higher purpose is to bring more love into the world, and we do that by connecting to our wholeness, by acknowledging who we really are and who everyone else really is, and to see the love in ourselves and in other people. And there are so many beautiful ways to alchemize our wounds into love. One example, and I'm so excited to share with you, is that we had a listener send in a question. I believe it was from episode 204, How to Confront Toxic Positivity. And on that episode, a listener sent in a question about their narcissistic parent and struggling with having to let go of their relationship with their dad or her relationship with her dad. It was a real struggle, and how to still love a parent while knowing at the same time that it's not healthy to have a relationship with them while knowing that they're also a harmful person to be around. And after the episode came out, this listener, she sent me a song that she wrote and performed about her relationship with her dad. And it was so incredibly beautiful that I asked her if I could play the song on the podcast, if I could share it on the podcast, because I just thought, wow, what a beautiful example of how somebody is expressing their healing, expressing their pain, expressing their love, and in just such a beautiful and an inspiring way. So I'm going to play this song at the end of this episode. Stay tuned for that. It is by the amazing singer. Her name is Aya Senosi, fellow listener of this podcast, fellow person on the healing path. So I hope you find it as inspirational as I did. And let's get to our first question, shall we? Subject: letting go of the victim mindset. Hi, Bunny. Your podcast feels like a soft place to land, and I'm so grateful for your kindness, empathy, wisdom, and vulnerability. XO Higher Self has already helped me so much. I'm writing because I cannot seem to figure out how to get past the woe is me mindset. I've been through multiple really hard breakups, been cheated on, had a hard childhood with two neglectful parents, and just as I felt like I was catching my breath, I went through a really big health emergency. It feels like everything goes wrong. Like anytime I'm close to being happy, the universe throws more trauma my way. It's challenging my own spirituality and view on the world because I just feel like my life will only ever be full of suffering and disappointments. I'm feeling like anytime I trust a friend or partner, they let me down. I know that this mindset isn't helpful to me. Even typing it out, I can certainly sense the goofiness in being so defeatist, but I cannot shake it. How do I accept that these terrible, hard, isolating events keep happening? I'm so tired of being strong and brave. I want to finally have peace. Hi, babe. I'm so sorry this has felt like such a struggle. I really feel for you. Trauma fucking sucks. Having a difficult childhood sucks. Losing relationships suck. Having health problems suck. Yeah, it all sucks. And it can feel like, can the universe just cut me a break or what? Here's the thing. We were raised to believe that our happiness in life is entirely dependent on what happens to us, what type of relationship we have, how much money we have, how big our house is, etc. And don't get me wrong, a lot of our happiness does have to do with our experiences. If you are struggling to find food, you can't be happy. If you don't have your basic needs met or are in an abusive environment, your suffering perpetuates. But so much of our joy and contentment in life is being grounded in a deeper truth about ourselves that is about so much more than what happens or our past experiences. So much of our happiness is acknowledging who we really are. It's in how we define ourselves and how we see ourselves, no matter the ups and downs of our human experience. I made this podcast because I wanted to share that I believe we are so much more than our experiences and even our thoughts. In 2016, I had a vision of my higher self when I was in one of my darkest moments. At this point in my life, I felt there was no purpose of continuing because all I could see was my own lack and my suffering. I was hurt. I was completely defeated. I was in my apartment in Brooklyn. I was by myself and I was in my bedroom and I was sitting there on the bed and I had been crying for hours and hours and I just felt, you know, completely worthless. And instinctually, I closed my eyes and I had a vision. And I was out of my body and I could see myself sitting there on that bed, crying and upset. And I had this overwhelming sense of compassion for myself. I saw all of this pain that I had been holding on to, all of these narratives about me not being good enough that I had been holding on to, all of this desperation to feel like I was finally going to be complete by doing this or that or whatever goals I had at the time. And I just had all of this love and all this compassion. And so I held myself and I told myself, you're enough. You're okay. You can let go. You don't have to try to be enough anymore because you already are. And this was an initiation into my relationship with my higher self or into my conscious relationship with my higher self. I realized that vision was a visceral experience of a deeper truth that I have actually always known. Inside all of us is a love that words cannot encapsulate. We are held by something greater than ourselves. I recently shared a video on Instagram that went viral with over 1 million likes, even more than that right now at this point. In the video, all I say is, if you're trying to love yourself, you already do. Where do you think the trying comes from? And that video resonated with so many people because we can all feel in our hearts that love is actually our true nature. That there's something inside of us that knows we are worthy just for being who we are and that has always known. There's this truth in us. It's the same truth that got us through our trauma. It's the same truth that drives us to find new ways of loving ourselves or trying to love ourselves, right? Who is actually doing the trying? Your higher self. Because inside all of us is actually our power, something within us that is our nature. And connecting to that is actually what happiness is. It isn't what happens to us. It's knowing who we really are. And the process of knowing that is a process of unlearning all of this stuff that society tells us is who we are. All of these things that society tells us is going to give us happiness, the right relationship, perfect parents, a huge house, a huge car, whatever it is. Now, that doesn't mean we can't be hurt. That doesn't mean that we didn't deserve better treatment. That doesn't mean we deserve to like suffer and to have health problems and to have these things happen to us that are not fun, that are real, real challenges. Of course, like that stuff is part of our human experience. However, there is something much deeper going on underneath all of that, underneath all of the ups and downs of our lives. Because part of being human is experiencing loss. We're all going to lose loved ones. We're all going to watch our bodies atrophy. We're all going to experience pain. Like that is part of this experience here. There is no escape from that. And I'm not trying to be dark, but like, let's just be real here. This isn't about avoiding suffering because that's impossible. What I'm trying to talk about is that this victim mindset that you talk about is really, I don't really like the term victim mindset. What I think what you're trying to say is that you're living in reaction to the things that have happened to you. And you know there's a deeper truth in you that you are not the sum of what has happened to you. And that's actually not how you should be defining yourself. You are so much more than those things that happened. You are so much more than your challenges. The fact that you wrote into this podcast means you already know that you are so much more than that. You already know that what happened to you isn't who you are. It has become a habit for you to identify with those experiences, but your experiences do not encapsulate your wholeness. You are a magical, creative, divine being who was created to love and to share love. Love is not a possession that is given and taken away. Love is a state of consciousness that is always accessible to you. It is not determined on your circumstances. And I'm not saying that to belittle your suffering. Of course not. It's not easy to deal with loss and pain. This isn't about denying suffering. This is about transcendence. This is about how you identify. When people treat us lovelessly, it's because they are not in the consciousness of love. They are behaving from their wounds and their loveless conditioning. Connecting to our higher selves is changing our identification from the narrative of our trauma and toxic culture to our wholeness, who we were created to be. It's not becoming something new. It's remembering who we are. Healing isn't fixing yourself. Healing is knowing yourself. When you say things like, I'm sick of being the brave one or the strong one, you are saying brave or strong in terms of defeating what happened to you. Being brave in the face of, being strong in the face of things just constantly putting you down. But you don't have to defeat it. You are not in a battle with your past. You are not under attack. Those things do not have the power to diminish you. Nothing does. Because you were created whole. And your power is internal. It's your spirit. It's beyond the body. And this is where we source our happiness from, true happiness, true joy. We are spirits having a human experience. And the human experience is a freaking roller coaster. And you don't know what's around the bend, but we are grounded in a power that is beyond what we cannot control. Even though we are often unaware of our truth, does not make it any less true. No one is being punished from the universe. Our suffering is an opening to a deeper truth about who we are. When we experience loss, what are we left with? Ourselves. And who is that exactly? When our parents or caregivers mistreated us, neglected us, what is the deeper story about that? Could it be that they themselves were treated the same? That they never learned how to nurture or be nurtured? That they lacked the self-awareness or the capacity for love? Can we see the higher selves in them too? Can we see where they missed the mark? Can we see that they didn't trust love and the power of it? That they didn't know their power? Can we end the cycle of harm by reparenting ourselves with love and tenderness and acceptance? When someone breaks up with us, what is the deeper story? That we aren't lovable? Or that not all relationships are supposed to last forever? That breakups are not failures? that they knew you were incompatible before you did, that we can honor their needs and their higher selves as well. And when we have the unfortunate experience of a health problem, what is the deeper story? That our bodies are betraying us and we are being punished? Or that our bodies do the best they can to take care of us daily? That we need more tenderness and love and acceptance for our bodies and gratitude for our bodies? That our bodies are not out to punish us? That we can say, thank you, body, for giving it your best, and I'm gonna love you through it. And ironically, that's what our bodies need from us. You know, no matter what struggles it's going through, what it needs is acceptance and love and gratitude. It needs to feel like we're taking care through our love. We're not in a battle with the world. We're not under attack, because there is nothing to defend when you know your wholeness and you know that nothing can diminish it. I'm sending you so much love, babe. Thank you for sending in this question. I know there are a lot of people who feel just the way you're feeling, and I know I've felt that way too. But we gotta remember who we really are, and that the things that happen to us do not define us. You are your higher self. You are powerful and you are loved. Take care. Hello, EXO Higher Self fam. It's Bunny here. I am so thrilled to announce my debut book, Hello Higher Self, An Outsider's Guide to Loving Yourself in a Tough World, is now available for pre-order. This book is the essential manual for unlearning your limiting beliefs that have been ingrained in you by the toxicity of our culture and your trauma and your socialization. We all have to unlearn this stuff so we can channel the power of our higher self. And everyone who pre-orders this book will receive a special free gift from me to be announced shortly. So hurry to the pre-order link in the show notes and get yourself a copy. I cannot wait for you to read it.
Hey, Bunny. I hope the audio will be okay because I'm walking outside. So I hope there's not too much noise. Otherwise, I guess it will be re-recorded. So first of all, thank you so much for this podcast and for giving us the advice from the higher self perspective. I think I'm like long-term listener, so to speak. I listened to your podcast since 2020, or even I think before that. I'm not sure if podcast has started in 2020. So yeah, it has helped me a lot. Thank you. But my question today is about, I think, I'm not sure how to ask that even. So the situation is the following. I am not from Germany, but I live in Germany and I work here in tech. So I'm product manager, and basically, even though I live here for a long time, but my visa is still connected to my job. And what happened is I was brutally fired before my probation ended, which basically here means that they can let you go without really explaining why. And it was a really strange situation. It was a startup and there was a bit of a toxic environment, to be honest. Well, I understand it now. I think while I was in it, I just wanted to have a job, and I liked the idea of this job, I think. So I definitely did not want to be fired, but I had some difficult times, and I didn't consider it leaving myself. And I was told that I'm passing the probation, and only 2 days before the end of the actual probation, I was told that I'm not passing, and I was let go, like, on the spot, and it was really brutal and not professional, and I was also gaslighted into believing that I was never told that I did pass probation. So basically, yeah, the whole thing was very toxic. And as a matter of fact, I'm glad that I'm out of that environment. And what was also going on the site is that I wanted to start a YouTube channel, and I started it in summer, but because I was changing the jobs, and because this job was, my last job was in a startup, was very requiring. I didn't have a lot of time to give to the YouTube, so I released only a couple of videos. The topic is about, like, fashion, fashion design, costume designs in the movies, and fashion history, and I really, really, really enjoy doing that content, but I was struggling a lot with combining work and YouTube at the same time, because I was working a lot and doing over hours, and in long-term perspective, as I realize now, it wasn't healthy anyway, because I would just burn out. And now that I don't have a job and I get some time, even on my visa, basically up to half a year to find a new job. And honestly, like, mentally, I haven't been feeling like finding a new job after what happened. And I mean, all of my friends tell me that it's normal and I should just, you know, let myself rest for a bit. And that's what I have been doing. But I've also been working on the YouTube quite a lot, so I've released already 2 videos, and now the third one is in the works. And I really have been enjoying this, and I've honestly been even thinking maybe I should accelerate my video creation and try to monetize it and try to make it like my side hustle, or actually, yeah, like, thing that I do. So, and I still don't feel like I want to have another job, and I'm really a bit scared because I really liked product management, and I've been going very consciously to this career. But after the last experience, it just feels like every job going to be exploitative, and every job going to use me, and somehow, I don't know, I just feel like I cannot trust people anymore, and I don't know, I'm really, like, struggling with imagining in the long goal of working, like, in the corporate ladder, so to speak, even though I work mostly in startups, but I think it's still a corporate job, more or less. So yeah, I've been actually thinking of different, like, opportunities of what to do, or what kind of job I want to find, but as I'm still thinking about it and reflecting on what happened and on the future, I think it would be really great to hear also your perspective on this and how would you approach it from the higher self perspective. Yeah, I'm sorry if this was a bit of a long message. Maybe you can cut it if you want to. And yeah, thank you again, and bye bye.
Hi, love. Thanks for your question. I am also really happy that you are out of that toxic work environment. And your friends are absolutely right that it's okay to take some time before you look for another job, and also some time to get some clarity on what happened and what you learned from that situation. It's common to have toxic work environments in a hierarchical culture, a culture that puts status and greed ahead of compassion, a culture that teaches us the more we have in terms of possessions, the more valuable we are. in that hierarchical framework, employees can be treated as expendable or less deserving of honest and compassionate communication and fair treatment. Because in the minds of those at the top of that work hierarchy, as in the people that do the hiring and the firing and policy making, they think this is how they will find success. This is what will help them manifest their goals. And they think this because it's what they have been taught, how they have been conditioned to treat people, the examples of leadership they have been around. As a startup, you would hope they were aware that employees that are treated fairly and work environments with high morale where people feel valued actually leads to more productivity and success. There is this amazing article in Forbes about Chani Nicholas, the astrologer, one of my favorite astrologers, one of my friends too, and the startup that she started with her wife for her app, the Chani app. The article is titled, How One Tech Company is Proving Why Taking Care of Your Employees is Profitable. And it describes how Chani's company gives their employees a starting living wage of $80,000, implementing 7 weeks of company-wide shutdowns, as well as a four-day work week providing employees with stipends for vacation. And in the article, her wife, Sonia Passy, says, I think living in a capitalist world, we are so indoctrinated with scarcity mindset, and I refuse to invest in a scarcity mindset. I believe that abundance begets abundance, and my experience running these two organizations is showing this to be true. Makes a lot of sense, right? And yet these old, tired, and toxic work practices are still all too common. Often when it comes to our jobs, we forget that everyone else involved is just another human being at a different stage in their own journey of healing and self-awareness. They are also still learning and unlearning. They make mistakes. They are misguided. And even though that means we can be a victim to unfair treatment, our higher selves help us see through that behavior to the conditioning behind that behavior. This isn't about you not being worthy of better treatment. It's the system that needs transformation. Often when we are treated with little humanity, it's tempting to forget the humanity in those people who treated us that way. But the deeper higher self perspective is to not lose that compassionate vision. This is an opportunity to acknowledge their choices are not a reflection of your worth and not a reflection of their worth either. There is a lot of people out there who are cultivating more healthy and conscious work spaces. This stuff is changing, although it feels really way too slow, and it is. People are awakening to this, and your experience will help you to notice the red flags and the green flags moving forward. So try not to let the fear get the better of you, and try not to put all people in a box now based on the behavior of some individuals, right? There are a lot of really good people out there, people who both want to make money and want to treat people fairly. And guess what? Those two things are not opposed, actually. So we are all growing through our experiences. So try not to let that fear just completely color your perspective. Now, about this whole YouTube venture. First of all, I love it. I absolutely love it. I love that you're passionate about it and that you are teaching people about what you're passionate about. I love that you have some months where you can really focus on it and see where it goes. I think it's totally possible to monetize it. As someone who has made a career out of social media, or at least it started there, there are a few tips that I would like to give you, and I hope that you find them helpful. Okay. Number one, make a plan. You need to ask yourself how much time you are willing to commit to and make it a consistent plan. Is it one video a month, one video a week. I know that you said that you had some extra time. Maybe this is just about the time you have. But if you're thinking about doing this long term, I also want you to consider, if I did get a job, what would be a consistency that I could keep up with? Is there some way to simplify it so I could do it more than I thought I could before? Is it possible to do more short versions like TikToks or YouTube shorts in the meantime when I am too busy for work? Again, what I'm saying is just sort of think about what you could actually realistically be consistent with and just make a schedule and make a plan, because one of the things I think can really trip you up when you are a content creator, or at least in my experience, is like this nagging question like, oh, should I be making something right now? Am I doing enough? I could be relaxing right now, or I could be posting something. And when you have a plan that you have planned out, at least for, you know, maybe a month or 2 months ahead of time, you already know what the plan is. And so you're not always feeling like this tug back and forth, like, am I doing enough? Am I not doing enough? Should I be doing more? No, you have a plan. Like, this is your plan. So yeah, that took me a long time to really think, implement that in my social media life. And since I've had way more structure, it's been so much easier for me that I don't just have this nagging feeling that I should be making something when, you know, I actually shouldn't, or it's just a completely unnecessary stress. So that would be one thing, one tip that I wanted to share. Okay, number two, do it because you want to bring people joy. This has to be the primary reason why you're doing what you do, because otherwise that same scarcity mindset that we were talking about earlier in your experience with the startup will come into your own work, into your own passion. What you are doing is sharing the abundance of knowledge and inspiration you feel about fashion and fashion history, and you're doing it to share the love, the same love that you have for it, you're sharing it with other people. Focus on brightening someone's day, and your audience will absolutely resonate with that and feel that. Remember, when it really comes down to it, this is like not really about you. And I know that that's like a weird thing to say, especially when it comes to social media, because it's like, oh, this is all about me. And it's like, actually, no. What social media is communication, and you're trying to communicate to somebody else. Otherwise, you wouldn't post it, right? If you weren't trying to communicate. So when you think about it as, what is it that I'm trying to communicate to somebody else? And if I'm trying to communicate like joy and inspiration and love in my own unique way, it actually makes sharing stuff way more fun, and you don't get super caught up in your ego, and it's really just about, you know, brightening someone's day or making somebody feel inspired. And that really, really helps in the day-to-day for sure. Okay. Number three, and this is probably the most important one, and it took me a really long time to realize this when it comes to creating content and stuff like that. Do not become your own toxic boss. One of the lessons that working at this startup taught you is that kindness and compassion is essential to joyful and emotionally safe work environments. And yes, maybe you're in the beginning stages and this isn't about paying your bills, and that doesn't matter. Like, what you're trying to do is accomplish something. You have a project, you have goals, you have a vision. You cannot be your own toxic boss. Like, I worked in the service industry for so long. I had a lot of managers at restaurants that were not nice to me, but nobody was nearly as not nice to me as I was not nice to myself when it came to my own passion, my own work. Like, I had to really look in the mirror and be like, wow, you're being like really oppressive. You're not giving yourself breaks. You're being mean, judgmental, critical. Nothing's ever enough. Like, toxic, toxic, toxic. And we do that to ourselves about our passion projects. It doesn't even matter if it's like about money at all. We do that to ourselves. We're like way too critical. We're really hard on ourselves and it's just not the vibe. So no, those are the three things, okay? And I just wanted to share that because I do believe in you and I love thinking about people doing their passion and I just want it to be super encouraging for that because honestly, like the way the world works right now, there's so much newness. There's so many like new ways to have careers. Lots of old ways of doing things are just kind of fading away, and a lot of people are creating their own jobs and or trying to make their passion sustainable through their jobs, meaning like they might get pay their rent through this waiting tables job, but then that actually enables them to have the space to make paintings or draw or write, and that's amazing too. So I guess if you have an inkling to create, please do, and that's to everybody out there. I think that you never know what's going to happen. And if you feel passionate about it and if you remember it's about helping to spread joy and inspiration, then you will continue to have fun with it. So yes, I am so excited for your future. There are so many possibilities. So keep your heart open. See the love in people. You know what work environments work for you. Take advantage of this time and yeah, everything's gonna work out. I'm sending you so much love, hun. Take care. Oh my goodness, for how long was I my own toxic boss without even having the awareness to realize it? Oh, so long, let me tell you. I have been doing this whole social media content creation, et cetera, thing since 2016 when I first started making my higher self memes. And I started making them not because I expected anything out of it, but because I was on this journey and I thought I actually can't do anything but talk to my higher self right now because I was in such a fragile place that it had to be my number one priority. I was literally trying to save my own life. And I was like, I'm just going to do this as a spiritual practice. I'm just going to write my thoughts, my insecurities, my fears, and then a higher self response. And I just started sharing them on my Instagram without having any expectation. And it started resonating with people. And so that was such a beautiful thing. But then, of course, it started this whole other journey about how to bring my higher self to social media, which was just, wow, a lot. I talk a lot about this in my chapter on social media in my book, Hello Higher Self, An Outsider's Guide to Loving Yourself in a Tough World, which by the way comes out June 4th. And if you pre-order now, you get a free gift. You get a free sticker that I designed that says, you're not lost, you're evolving. And if you order another copy for a friend, you get actually a free print of the cover art, which I created. So that's all linked in the show notes. But anywho, so I tell the story in my book about, in the chapter on social media, about that whole journey and how I higher selfed my relationship to social media. And I have such a much healthier, productive, happy, joyful relationship to social media now. And it took a while for me to get there, for sure. Absolutely. But there are real ways of doing that. And so if you're interested, if you're a content creator, or if you have to use social media for your business, or if you're just somebody who likes posting and connecting and wants to have a healthier relationship with social media, make sure to pre-order my book, hear my story about it. And there's a lot of guidelines and stuff like that on how to do that, how to bring your higher self to your relationship with social media, and also how to bring your higher self to all different aspects of your life is included in the book. Actually, there's 18 chapters. Each chapter is like a different area of life. So I'm so excited for the time when all of you can have access to this book and we can continue to unlearn together on this podcast. All right, which brings me to our higher self mantra of the week. Nothing that happened to me could ever diminish me. Nothing that happened to me could ever diminish me. This affirmation or mantra, whatever word you want to use, is a reminder of who you are and who you have always been. You have always been whole. You are you. You are here. You belong. You are a magical, creative, beautiful being. And there is nothing wrong with you, sweetheart. No, nothing. Nothing that happened to you could ever diminish you. You are eternal. You are spirit. You are love. Nothing that happened to me could ever diminish me. I want you to say that out loud. I want you to say the mantras out loud. I don't just want you to say them in your head. I get it. It feels weird sometimes. Maybe you want to be alone in your car or something like that. But I promise you, like, saying them out loud, it's just a different energy. It's a different energy. It really puts you in it. So yes. And before we wrap this up completely, I'm so excited to share this beautiful song by my new friend, Aya Sinosi, listener, fellow healing person on this journey with all of us. Again, she sent in a question on episode 204 about the relationship she had, the estranged relationship she had with her father, and the difficulties in processing that and loving somebody that you know is a harmful person to be talking to in your life and having to let go of that. And it's just a beautiful example of alchemizing your healing into something super, super beautiful. So with that, I will tell you to have a beautiful week. And I love you so much, and so does your higher self. And I'll just let Aya take us out with her beautiful voice. All right, see you next time. Take care.
I wish I could turn back time. If I could press rewind, I'd go back to our long drives together. I'm missing you.